This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the DreamPod by Dreamcast Junkyard. I'm Andrew and I'm back in the hosting chair for another themed episode, this time centred around our idea of gaming heaven and hell. Each of the chaps will choose a Dreamcast game that's perfect to them and also one that they'd rather see burn in flames. Hopefully we won't have any falling out in the ensuing discussion. I'll do my best to moderate. This is just part one, though, and we'll have more of the guys in part two. So if you really want more of our hot takes, then we definitely have you covered. First of all, though, let me introduce the people joining me this time around. We, of course, have the wonderful Lewis. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm not so bad. Yeah.
Good to hear. Also joining us is the lovely Mark. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you, very well. Now that he's got a taste for it, we can't keep him away. It's Martin. How are you doing, Martin?
Yeah, I'm fine, slowly losing my mind, but other than that, no problem. And how are you, Andrew?
Very well, yes. Not so great that you're losing your mind, but hopefully you can keep it together through this at least.
Let's see.
Fingers crossed. Last but never least, it's the always awesome Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Wow, always awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah, just to like kind of reiterate what Martin said, also slightly losing my mind, and always nice to hear how energetic Lewis sounds on these podcasts. So yeah. don't ever change, Lewis.
Well, I think me and Mark are losing our mind as well, but we're just sort of like pretending that we're not. Which may make us more insane, I suppose.
We're just rolling with it at this point.
You're just not that bothered.
Oh dear. Well, I mean, they're up north, so maybe it's just a bit nicer up there during this whole thing. Perhaps, I don't know.
Well, let's start off with something light, not north south. Who's nicer?
God. Yeah. I mean, you're not even north south, Martin. You're over in Germany. You know, that's like
that's a whole different conversation. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. No, but I've got my PAL Dreamcast collection with me and a few Japanese treats as well.
Lovely. Always good. All right, so you know that when I host, I generally like to play by my own rules. So before we get cracking with heaven and hell, let's go around and discuss something other than what we've been playing. Although if you're able to sneak that in, then kudos. So I want to know what game you wish had been on the Dreamcast. I'm going to start with Tom. Just to throw him on the coals before we start.
Wow.
No, by the way, nobody was expecting this. I completely took everybody by surprise. Tom, the game you wish you'd been on the Dreamcast.
Okay, wow. So can this be like a completely made-up game? Or can it be a game that was on another system? Or
I mean, if you want to take the time to make up a game on the spot, then feel free.
Okay, so Tom's Adventure. No.
Does it have to be contemporary, like of the time of Dreamcast? Or, come on, Andrew, define the rules here.
I'll define. Yeah, it has to be contemporary. It could have been before the Dreamcast, maybe something you wanted ported, or it could have been around the time of the Dreamcast or just after it got... but yeah, nothing modern. So, let's say either before anything before 2002, let's say.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, I'm going to go for something very safe and something that I'd always like to have seen on the Dreamcast, and that is Scud Race. So a nice arcade perfect port of Scud Race, which would have sat nicely alongside Sega Rally and Daytona and the other arcade ports on the Dreamcast. So yeah, I'm going to go safe. Sorry if that's boring. But...
Be as boring as you want. It's absolutely fine. We're probably going to get into a very heated debate about the games that we're going to discuss very soon. So let's start with boring. Lewis, I'll give it to you next. What would you want to have seen?
This was like the first thing that popped into my head, which made me realise that it is absolutely the only answer, and that is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, without a doubt. All the others that followed. There you go.
All of the Tony Hawk's games.
Maybe not the really bad ones towards the end.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. Tony Hawk 3 would have been pretty good. That, when was that? That was 2002, 2003.
Oh. The last, the very last N64 game was Tony Hawk 3.
Okay.
Is that right? So,
yeah.
Interesting fact there. All right, I'll come round. Mark.
So for me, I would love to have seen some Final Fantasy games on Dreamcast, because I think, you know, like with the graphics, that could have been pretty sexy. Even some of the older PS1 ones just ported over, maybe with some upgrades on it. And I did speak to a QA tester via my work one time. He was swore blind that he was asked to look at a port of Final Fantasy 9 for Dreamcast, which then didn't ever happen. But I mean, you know, that was like his little claim to fame when he found out that I was into Dreamcast. I mean, that would have been amazing if it would have happened. But again, no, one of those ways. You know, we can all dream, can we?
Yeah. We can. Yeah, that would have been pretty cool.
It would have been really cool.
Yeah, definitely. All right, then, moving around, Martin, what would you have chosen?
Metal Gear Solid. That would be my choice. So I'd have Metal Gear Solid. I don't know. Ideally, it would be a completely bespoke version for the Dreamcast, a la kind of Code Veronica. But it could have been perhaps the first one in a high-res port. That's what you kind of see a lot of today. But perhaps, just Metal Gear Solid 2 coming out on the Dreamcast. But whether it would have fit on a GD-ROM, etc. But let's just say it can, for argument's sake.
That would have been awesome. But it's a shame that the Dreamcast didn't get the third-party support that it kind of deserved, really. Because I'm guessing if people like Konami and Square had, you know, if they had supported the Dreamcast, we would definitely have got things like Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid on the Dreamcast. But that's kind of harking back to our What If episode there a little bit. Good choices all. I'm not even sure what I would... I kind of came up with this question just before we came on, just to kind of mess with you all. I haven't really thought about it myself.
Mission
accomplished. I'll go left field or something and just say Halo, just for the laughs, because, you know, if Microsoft had never come out with the Xbox, who knows where Halo would have gone, or even if it had come out. But yeah, Dreamcast would have been interesting for that. All right. Sorry to mess everybody's minds up now. Hopefully you've all remembered what your Heaven and Hell games are, because that's what we're jumping into next. I'm going to start with the hard question out of the two. So your Hell games, which, you know, it's going to be a difficult one. Are these going to be games that you just absolutely hate, that everybody else kind of feel the same way about? I'm looking at you, Spirit of Speed, although James maybe wouldn't agree there. Or is it going to be a game that everybody else really loves and you just can't stand for whatever reason? I'm going to come to Lewis. What's your Hell game?
I'm going to cheat a little, because I'm not going to talk about one game, but more a theme of games, a type of games. And that's games in a specific genre. And there's little hellish bits that have made their way into other games that I love. And that is anything that is rhythm-based, or anything that that has mechanics that requires me, who has really bad dyspraxia, to test my reflexes. I know Mike, if he hears this, he'll rage at hearing this, but Space Channel 5 is like a big one. An absolutely awesome, excellently presented game, but frankly, like, when you're playing it and the viewer rating keeps going lower and lower because I fuck everything up. That's not my idea of fun. And I wish I could see more of that game. And the worst part is, from what I remember when I last played it, it actually, like, goes all the way to, like, the boss and then tells you your crap right after you've beaten the boss. So it takes you all the way to the end of the level and then is like, nah, you suck. Try again, which is like really soul destroying. Greatly presented game, but not for me, unfortunately, because I find it so difficult. And then other things that have kind of seeped their way into games I love, and one in particular is in Shenmue 2. There's these things called freeze QTEs, freeze quick time events, where it'll like pause like a cutscene, and then it'll hit like four buttons all really quick, and you have to react instantly to just get these prompts in. They're like much faster and require more buttons pressed than like the normal quick time events, which I'm normally all right with. And the worst part is that these often appear during boss battles. So you'll be like fighting a boss and it'll come up with one of these prompts, you'll mess it up, and then the boss will take like a load of health off you, and then you just end up dying. So there was times when like I'd be nearly beating a boss and then he'd just hit me with one of these quick time events. I'd mess it up and then he'd destroy me. I'd have to do it all over again. So yeah, anything that requires my reflexes to be tested is hell to me. And that is my answer.
Okay. Very interesting answer. Anybody got a comeback for Lewis here? Are they really mad like Mike might be at his hatred for Space Channel 5?
I think Mike's just like screamed out loud somewhere, but has no idea why.
Oh, that's what that sound was. I heard it in Germany.
I was going to say, I actually agree wholeheartedly with that contribution. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of those kind of games. Like, I remember back when things like Parappa the Rapper came out, and I kind of played it, and I was just like, everyone's raving about this, and I'm thinking it's just a copycat game. I don't see the appeal. And then when things like Space Channel 5 came out as well, I just, again, marvelled at the graphics, but just didn't find the gameplay to be in any way fulfilling. So, yeah, Lewis, I totally agree.
Well, I don't mind so much the sort of like the fun music and all that. It's just the fact suck so hard at it.
Yeah, from my side, I would say I empathise, so I can kind of, and I understand what you're saying. You know, it makes complete logical sense that essentially you suck at it, so therefore you don't like it. So that's fine. Yeah. But in a more empathetic way, I might rephrase that. But generally, I'm kind of split with these games. So I remember the hype around Parappa the Rapper. I never actually played it or anything. I wasn't interested in this little dog, and that's all I remember from it, the kind of 2D cartoony graphics. And it looked quite cool, but it was all about the PlayStation, and I was on my Saturn at the time. And it was extremely popular, and there's a whole kind of this Dance Dance Revolution and these games in the arcades with all the foot dancing and everything. Those are hugely popular. I mean, in Japan, they play them today still like crazy. And they're even popular in the West enough, you know, these games. And I remember I do have the Konami dancing mat and all this kind of stuff. I've never used it. But yeah, those games I'm not a huge fan of. Space Channel 5, there's something just weirdly, I don't know, that captures me a bit more with that particular game. But with Shenmue and kind of these quick time events where, yeah, you're kind of reflex tested, I do actually enjoy those aspects. They can be frustrating and they're unforgiving, for sure. But so I understand that. And yeah, I wouldn't want a whole game based around that, but they can be enjoyable.
Yeah, kind of agreed from my side as well. Like, you know, it's not usually the kind of games that I go out of my way to play. But like I say, you know, there are a few, Space Channel 5 being one actually, and Samba de Amigo being another, again, rhythmish type thing, where I do really enjoy it. But yeah, the QuickTime ones do catch me off guard, and I'm usually pretty crap at them. So yeah, it's one of them where I could take or leave it really. But yeah, I definitely get your point.
I just remembered actually, while Lewis was talking, you immediately made me think of this amazing Nintendo DS game, which I'll only briefly mention, which is called Os Tatake Oendan. And it's a rhythm game where you tap with the stylus in different areas and draw following this kind of beach ball that moves around and everything like this. And with the Japanese J-pop that they have in there, and when you get it right, all of the animations, it's a very Japanese feeling game. And that translates into the arcades and everything. Like, there's on the Switch, you can get this Hatsune Miku control keyboard even for your, you know, the arcade sized big buttons to bash in your Japanese apartment very quietly. So yeah, there's some appeal.
Yeah. Just listening to that, we just need to get Martin to come on and do an episode completely in Japanese, just to listen to him speak Japanese for a whole episode. I feel like I've had Lewis's experience almost with Space Channel 5 in that I've said it before, I think, but I'm a huge Space Channel 5 fan. I've completed the game probably about 20 times because it's so short, and I enjoyed it so much that I just kept going back to it. I'm not a huge rhythm game person usually, but something about Space Channel 5 in particular spoke to me. But I almost feel like I've had Lewis's experience in that I tried to stream it a few months back. I was doing like a stream of different Dreamcast games, and Space Channel 5 was one of them. However, I had it set up in such a way that I was watching the stream version in order to play it and then listening to what was actually happening. So there was like a delay. So I was just I could not hit the buttons at the right time. And because it was all going wrong, you know, Ulala was really depressed and sad, and people kept leaving, and it's such a horrible game when it's going wrong. So I almost feel like I can understand exactly where Lotus is coming from with that, because if you're not having the best time with the game, it's not one of those games that gives you a trophy for participating. You know, it's not going to tell you you're doing really well. It tells you you're shit.
It's soul destroying,
unplayable with lag for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So definitely, we'll never be playing it in that manner again. Okay, let's move on then to Tom.
Okay.
Well, what's your hell game?
Okay, this is one that's going to get people like literally throwing their MP3 players or their iPods at the floor. And don't worry, it's not Shenmue. It's nothing like that. My choice for hell is Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future. And the reason for that is not because of, you know, anything around the way the game looks or the way the game plays. It's the fact that I personally, this game is like a mountain to me that I never managed to scale. And the reason for that is that I just constantly found it far too difficult. And, you know, I know that we've talked about this game in the past, and I know that some members of the Junkyard team, such as Scott, our guy who lives in Australia, he's a massive fan of this game. And the fact that he explained to me how the story goes and how just mind-bending the whole tale is, you know, of the way the dolphins kind of like desert Earth and all this kind of thing, I was like, yes, I want to play it again. I want to give it the time to actually get into the game and really give it some time. And I tried again, and I still came up against the same things that stopped me from enjoying it the first time, which was a complete lack of direction, a complete sense that I have no idea what I'm doing, I don't know where to go, and just kind of swimming around in circles, not having a clue what I'm meant to do to progress the story.
And then it's like being Prime Minister.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. But then when finding the places that I'm meant to go to, coming up against other obstacles that are just impossible, to me at least, to overcome, you know, races against things that are far too fast, finding things that are just, you know, you're not told where they are and what, there's no map or anything like that. It just seems like an impenetrable fortress of a game that there's no way into. And unless you really, really persevere with it, you know, you're not going to get any enjoyment out of it. I know that the original games on the Mega Drive were similar in that they were kind of like maze-based games, but they were 2D. You know, you had the benefit of it being on a 2D plane. With Echo, Defender of the Future, you were literally just a cast into this 3D maze of opaque water and no general direction of what you meant to do. I mean, some people might like that, but for me, it is literally hell because I don't have a clue what I'm meant to be. Imagine a Ubisoft game from now, which is this massive open world, but you're not told where you're meant to go, and there are no towers to climb, and there's no villages to go to, and there's no people to speak to. You're just kind of adrift.
You're just a fish.
Yeah, you'd technically a mammal. Technically a mammal, but yeah, I mean, otherwise. And the thing, the real thing for me about this game that makes me hate it even more is the fact that it is so good looking. It's an absolute masterclass technically for the Dreamcast. It's one of the best looking games on the system, in my opinion. But the fact that it's so impenetrable makes it even more annoying that it's so difficult, and I just don't like it. I hate it for that reason. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Oh. I can feel the hate just coming off you. Anybody got any thoughts on Tom's hatred for this game? Anybody agree? Anybody vehemently disagree?
I've got to say, I completely agree, Tom. I mean, I used to like Echo games like back in the day, but yeah, like I do think that the concept is a bit boring, and like I say, you know, it's quite a big world, and you are just kind of going around in circles, wondering, you know, is this the right way? Is this the right way? I'll be honest, I've got it. I played it twice since it came out, probably lasted half an hour both times, and then just turned it off and never thought about it again. So yeah, I'm fully in agreement with you.
And that's the crime here. That's the crime at play here. Apparently, this storyline is absolutely amazing.
I can believe
but
it as
because,
well.
Because so know, many people,
I'd never know.
So many people just get so frustrated with it in the very early stages that we never see any more of it. And that's the thing. It should have just been, you know, go here, do this. Once you get to grips with it, the storyline unfolds nicely and like in, you know, in a manner that, you know, is enjoyable, but it just isn't for the fact that the difficulty level is so high.
It's For me, it's a crying shame, really. I, too, also own it, and I've only played it a handful of times, and I completely agree that it looks fantastic. But, the progression isn't... It's not that you need to be given everything, you know, spoon-fed exactly where to go constantly all the time for everything you're doing and play a very linear game, but it's just... It is too open and too kind of guideless and aimless, almost, and... that you can lose interest in it. You know, you play it for 10 minutes and 10 minutes of frustration and you think, sod this, I'm going to play something else. And it's a shame because on the one hand, I'm really pleased it exists because, I mean, it's a lovely idea. And I'm pleased that, like, making games like this now is, from my perspective, is the kind of arena for the homebrew. It's not really big budget games are being made for this now and they don't get the recognition. So I'm pleased that it exists, but on the other hand, yeah, it's a missed opportunity, if anything.
Fair. Lewis, you've been very quiet there. What are your thoughts on this?
I've not actually played this game. It's one that always pops up on eBay or whatever, and I see it, and I'm thinking, that's cheap, I'll get that, and then never do. But maybe just as a sort of a positive end to this whole Echo saga, maybe it is a game that we should have brought to modern systems, you know, and they could add all the things that are missing from it, like actually letting people know where to go and stuff like that. Maybe that would save everything that's good about it.
Yeah, save the dolphin, yeah.
Save the dolphin. That's true. I would definitely, personally, I would agree with everything that was said. I've played it a handful of times and just don't get it. I just don't get it. So yeah, I agree. I'm not sure I'd say it was hell. I wouldn't be as angry as you are, Tom, maybe.
But. Scott is the only person who I know who's actually played it to any level of like completion. So, I mean, everyone who I know who's played this game says, oh yeah, I played it for 5 minutes, didn't understand what was going on, and put it down. And that seems to be almost exclusive to, you know, this game. You know, it's
Scott. I mean, maybe you have to live down under, like near actual dolphins to get it.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, if you're in England and you're like, there's no chance, the North Sea is a mess, and you know, then you've got, yeah, it's just, I can see.
Yeah, sorry, if there's any loud bang shortly, there's thunder and lightning over my house so loud that my house just shook slightly. That's
pretty impressive.
Yeah. Drama.
Yeah.
Literal hell is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, in that vein, then let's come to you, Mark. Let's talk about your hell game. While hell is raining down on you. What is it getting chosen?
So again, this one might be a bit controversial, and it's kind of unfair, really, because I'm now judging it with modern eyes, whereas I think I used to judge it differently. But this one for me is MDK2, which is a game that I've come back to play. Because I definitely completed it back in the day, and I've not played it much since, and I came back to play it for YouTube, for my channel, quite recently, and it was almost unplayable for me. And I think this is a game where it just misses that right thumbstick. I know there's so many games that are in that vein, but I really struggled, and I don't remember ever struggling that bad. This, it may be that I've either got significantly worse at gaming, which is very possible, or this is a game that hasn't aged quite as well. But nothing against the story, nothing against the kind of setup or the graphics or anything like that, but the actual controls and gameplay were horrendously difficult, and I plowed an hour into it and didn't really get much better. And it did ruin it for me a little bit. But again, you know, back in the day in 2001 or whatever it was, you know, I didn't quite feel the same, because this was the height of what I expected. But now, looking back with modern eyes, it does feel very, very dated, and it's one I didn't particularly enjoy, unfortunately. But I'm sure I used to. It's a weird thing to think about. But yeah, it's not a game that I'd be open to playing again, really.
Yeah, no, again, Mark, I would agree with your sentiment. This is a game that I did find very difficult back in the day. I played it again recently. I say recently, maybe about a year ago, and did, you know, feel like it was a proper slap in the face at how hard games were back then. And it's indicative. It's weird that I could get further then than I could now, you know, as an older gamer.
Strange, isn't it? So yeah. Strange. Yeah, like, I mean, like, literally the first level, I mean, it was like I'd never picked up a controller before. It was like, I was that bad.
It's from my so I really agree and get what you're saying. I think so much of gaming now is uses this arguably intuitive two stick controller, where you move a person with one and the other one moves the camera and the viewpoint, and that now is so ingrained that you find yourself reaching for it when you play a game. And with it missing on the Dreamcast, you don't have that muscle memory that you had 20 years ago, where that didn't exist, so you would just play it how you would play it, and you would be good at it. Now we're kind of retrained, if you like. Our brains think differently with regards to the input for a game. So this happens to me constantly when I play Dreamcast 3D games, some more than others, where I want to move a character around, and then I'm thinking, oh, like I playing Headhunter a few weeks ago for the last podcast a few weeks ago. That was one of those games exactly where I thought, oh, I just want to see around this corner. Oh, I can't see around the corner. Yeah. And it totally changes the way that everything that we're used to gaming. So, yeah, really good shout.
Lewis, is this one you haven't played, or do you think differently?
You're right there. But I can understand where people are coming from. I recently got and played Mac and X. And while that game is fairly all right as far as, you know, playing it with modern eyes, I was finding it to be just slightly frustrating in a way that I just thought, you know, if only this had the right analog stick, it would have just been so much smoother. You know, I think we've really been spoilt with such good control, you know, in recent last decade or so. I do remember this in the name of this game, though. Was there a HD re-release at some point?
I think, yeah. I mean, it was definitely on PS2 and it was on PC as well, as far as I remember.
I wonder if the controls were changed at all. That's something to look for.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, I was thinking the same when you were mentioning Headhunter, Martin, because they released that on the PS2, and obviously the PS2 had dual sticks. And I'm not sure if they changed the controls for that. I doubt they did, but it'd be interesting if they had done.
If I may just make a final comment on MDK2, it almost strikes me as being similar to Echo in that, even though it's an amazing looking game and the aesthetic is fantastic, and I love the comic book kind of stylings of it, and you know, you've got the different characters that you can play as, and the world building is just phenomenal, but
yeah,
it's just the execution and how difficult it is, and you'd be running through levels and things are shooting you, you don't even know what's shooting you, do you know what I mean? And it's just what's happened.
Yeah,
there we go, another game from hell for some of us. I'm sure we're going to have some comments about these hell games Twitter and Facebook. These are subjective opinions, I will add, although we do seem to have agreed fairly unanimously so far on most of these. So that brings us on to Martin. Martin, what is your game from hell?
So my game that is nothing more than useful to purchase for the PAL case harvesting that needs to happen as all the hinges break, is the this is quite a well-known game, actually, I would say, so, but it's controversial because of the pick. So this is Sonic Adventure.
Ooh.
Oh, get out.
And I can justify this outrageous sentiment. I can already hear the tweets coming in. So for me, I was a huge Sonic fan from, I don't know, 1992, you know, when I was like 9 years old, all the way through until Sonic Adventure. And I was a fan of Sonic Adventure at the time. But my issues with the game actually come more from playing it today and everything subsequent that's happened. So Sonic Adventure was, you know, we got nothing on the Saturn and we got Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast, and I enjoyed playing it, but actually, even at the time, the camera was out of control and crazy, and if you try and play it now, it's a challenge to go back and play this game. I would much sooner, and I know many other people do, would rather pick up Sonic 3 or even the excellent Sonic Mania games like this, and I would have preferred something in the style of Sonic Mania to have been released. I understand all the reasons about turning for 3D and everything, but without the dual analog sticks, you can't control this absolutely batshit crazy camera, amongst other things, and then you've got this very weird storyline, and it's got its charm. I really enjoyed the Chows and the VMU interaction, and it's an important game for the Dreamcast, but it also defines when, in my view, Sonic started going into this extremely weird 3D Sonic game that hasn't, to my mind, really found its footing after all these years. After 20 years, 3D Sonic is still this kind of dream in our head of something that might be, and then we're given a 2D Sonic game, and it seems to be good. So for me, it's Sonic Adventure sits in this kind of Dreamcast hell of a memory of what could have been and what ended up being.
I feel like I need to, if I could applaud and it'd be like a big round of applause, I would do that because I feel exactly the same way.
Oh, you swear to God.
I feel exactly the same way.
Raging already.
Oh, this is where we're going to start the fight. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows here, but I wrote a book and... never mentioned it at all. I won't go into it now. We'll talk about it another time. But I mean, my retrospective on Sonic Adventure is almost exactly as Martin says. It's at the time it's a game that was incredibly important for the Dreamcast, and it continues to be an important game for the Dreamcast and its history and the history of Sega and 3D gaming. But it's not a great game, and it's just I've never enjoyed it that much, to be honest. Beyond the first level, perhaps. The first level kind of shows you the promise of the game, and then as soon as it kicks you out into the hub world, you go, oh, and then it just from there it's just like, oh, okay. So I agree. Let's hear somebody who generally obviously doesn't agree. Who is Mark? Vocally doesn't agree.
If I may before Mark sort of destroys this game, or rather sort of tells us how great it is, I'd just like to echo something you said there, Andrew, about the first level. I think a lot of people, when they first played Sonic Adventure, would have been on the demo that came with the Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. It would have been, wow, this is amazing. Look at it. It's the action stage, the first one, where you're in that sort of tropical desert island world, not realising that as soon as you get past that, it, as you say, again, you're into this hub world, and it's like...
Stuck in a swimming pool with people in bikinis stood around you. It's like, what is happening? You know, you've got Emerald Coast and it's awesome. And I remember the exactly as you say, Tom, with this demo and oh my God. And the music of the intro.
Yeah.
I don't even like that type of music, but I love that. I love, and the soundtrack of the whole game, actually, I love, even though I wouldn't listen to that music separately to the game. For some reason, it just works. It all works. And then, you're kicked into this hub and you're like, what? And then you've got to run around, find these orbs, and then this person tells you it's just what is happening. Continue.
Sorry, I'll give the floor over to Mark.
Okay, you're all wrong, and this is a fantastic game. you know what, the camera angle thing, I completely get it. You know, I mean, I play this semi-regularly, and you know, I do get the cameras a bit, a bit all over the place. But I think, you know, it was still 3D was still struggling to fully kind of get its grasp at that point. You know, this was the game that had gone probably above and beyond in what 3D could have been, and it pays for it a little bit with the camera angles, because it's almost like too good for what it could have been at the time. I also take on board the fact that some of the levels are pretty boring. Like, you know, the first one is fantastic and most of the Sonic ones are. But then, you know, I do get that having to fish with Big the Cat, and even the one with having to like go around smashing bits up in order to get emeralds is a little bit boring. But for me, I think that this is actually where 3D Sonic should have stayed. I think that, you know, if they would have carried on with the Sonic Adventure series and improved it, I actually think that the issue that they had is that they took some of the good bits of it but dropped some of the other bits to make the games afterwards that have since been not anywhere near as good. Like, you know, the whole Chao thing, I think that could have been up there with, kind of like collectible Pokemon stuff or Tamagotchi stuff. Mm-hmm. As a really sizable chunk of every Sonic game. You know, there's like there's something that comes with it where you collect Chao's and you do whatever, which again was dropped, which I don't understand. But I mean, for me, it's literally my favorite Sonic game of all time. So, you know, it's one of them that I will defend. But I do get that people coming at it now maybe don't quite see it the same. But again, I'm looking at it slightly with nostalgia tinted glasses, because I remember being however old I was looking at that and thinking that, you know, this is the future of gaming, and that was like a blow, you know, a kind of mind-blowing moment at the time. But I mean, even now for me, I still love it, but I can see why people maybe don't. But it's it's still my favorite.
That is that's quite the hill to die on there, Mark, I must say.
It is. You made some really nice points there, and it was especially interesting that if they'd have made a Sonic Adventure 3 and improved things, then, you know, I might have different views about this game, but they didn't. This game is, I mean, I was going to finish the discussion on this by saying the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And that's exactly what this game is to me. It's a good intention of where 3D Sonic can be. And look at where we are now. And again, I can hear the tweets being written.
Furiously.
I like Sonic Forces, so there we go.
Oh my God, get off more this tweets. Podcast. Get off this podcast.
Oh my God. I think I'm going to send a tweet to you right now.
Do it. So I'm meant to be moderating, and I'm like advocating for like people saying things.
Golding, Andrew Golding.
I'm Golding. Lewis, any thoughts on Sonic Adventure?
I have played this game, which is the only one out of all the ones we've gone over that I've actually played. To be honest, if I was a Dreamcast fan and hadn't played Sonic Adventure, you know, you could kick me out of the podcast.
That's another reason why it's a hell game, right? It's like, oh, what's the best Dreamcast game? Everyone's Sonic Adventure. No, come on. Anyway, continue, Lewis.
I feel fairly sort of, you know, indifferent towards this game. I probably am more sort of tilted on the sort of scale of, you know, I think it's quite good. I liked it, you know, when I played it. It was one of the first games I got for my Dreamcast when I revisited it in around sort of 2010. And I think for me, it was a bit of a different story because I'd played stuff like Sonic Heroes and I was going backwards. So I'd seen bad Sonic, like I'd seen Sonic Unleashed and Sonic 06 and all these terrible games.
I remember Sonic 06, by the way. Just like to apologize just on behalf of anyone who's ever defended a Sonic game. Just, sorry about that. So fucking bad.
Yeah, like, I mean, my mother, I didn't really play any of the Mega Drive games until later on. My 2D Sonic was Sonic Advance. Those are the ones I'd played. So I went onto this and, you know, I thought it was really cool, and I think maybe the fact that I'd seen the crap that had come after it kind of helped to sort of save it in my eyes. I thought it was a cool game. I think Sonic Adventure 2, they made you play as certain characters, so you had to do the Knuckles bits, you know, whereas I preferred in Sonic Adventure 1 you could just play Sonic's story and that's who you got to play as. That all the levels were built around him, you didn't have to play any of the other rubbish. And yeah, so I enjoyed it, and I wish more Sonic games were like it, actually. Anyway,
I've always liked you mate.
We've got very clear factions going on at the moment with this. It's kind of brought out the worst in some, and no, just the worst. We're going to do Heaven next. I'm just going to go back in reverse order, mostly just because I want to hear what Martin's Heaven game is as opposed to what his Hell game is straight away.
All right, my Heaven game, hopefully it's no one else's, is Grand Theft Auto 2.
Interesting.
And the reason it's GTA 2 is I think it's an absolute unsung hero on the Dreamcast. I had a play on it again recently. I remember loving it at the time. I'd at that time played, of course, Grand Theft Auto 1. Ironically, it was a pirated copy of the game that I was playing on PlayStation. And then there was, of course, this the London upgrade, and there was another, I think, another add-on pack for the PlayStation. So I played those games and loved them, and everything was all about this and where it would go. Grand Theft Auto 2 on the Dreamcast looks absolutely superb. The graphics are just perfect. If someone were to make a game in this style right now, I would happily, I mean, it's, you'd hope it would come out on the Switch or something like that. The music is fabulous. The gameplay is extremely tight and clear with what's happening, and you've got these rival gangs that you have to appease, or not. You can start gang wars, and there's loads of missions to do. It's got the kind of infamous but not included today killing spree mode, which is, yeah, you get a weapon, and then within a certain time limit, you've got to kill a certain number of people. And for obvious reasons, they've taken that out of the game now. But it's challenges like that, and it feels very gamey, and it doesn't feel like a life simulation. It really feels like a game. And the only complaint I have about the game, really, is that every time you get into a car, the radio starts from the beginning. So it's a bit of a programming glitch. So every time you get into a car, you always hear the kind of intro music for the radio station, the first song. So if you want to hear more of the radio, you have to go driving around to hear more of the radio. That's really the only complaint I have with the game, because it plays really well. And like I said, it's kind of forgotten because GTA 3, with everything turning 3D, is this big, you know, landmark game. And it is brilliant, and that's a whole other separate topic. GTA 1 gets the recognition for being the first Grand Theft Auto, and I really feel this is forgotten. And it really is just great to pick up and play. It's extremely, yeah, it's a Heaven game. It's in my collection.
Wow, it's nice to hear somebody actually talk about the Dreamcast version of Grand Theft Auto 2, because again, like as you said many times, it is like a forgotten port, you know what I mean? And I have to be honest, it's one of them games again that I played for not a great deal of time, because I didn't really give it the time of day, just because I think at the time Grand Theft Auto 3 was on the horizon, so I was kind of looking more towards that. Wow. I mean, I think it's that kind of weird, kind of near future aesthetic that it's got that makes it kind of stand out. It's like there's no other game in the series that has like a futuristic vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it allows it to be more off the wall with its like missions and weapons and vehicles and that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really kind of unique and sets itself apart. And because the Grand Theft Auto of today is extremely like realistic and of now, right? You could, if you squint, you could think that it's actually just downtown LA. Mm. Whereas this is some kind of, futuristic dystopian-ish New York. And
it's almost like retro futuristic in it, though. Like a 1920s future kind of thing.
Yeah, with these cars with the big flared arches and all this kind of stuff. But the graphics are amazing. If anything, I guess another complaint would be that some bits are a bit dark. But, yeah, I mean, you can see that on TVs back then were actually CRT, and you really got to see everything anyway, even if it was dark. So, yeah, nice points, Tom.
Has anybody else got any particular thoughts about GTA 2?
I haven't played this game. Damn, I'm really failing today. And you know what? It actually kind of feeds into what Martin said. I'm guilty in the fact that probably looking through lists of games on the Dreamcast, I saw this and thought, well, that's not the same as GTA 3 or Vice City, and I haven't touched it for that reason. Well, but now I'm actually, I'm going to go seek it out. So appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it once you've given it a go, because it'll get overlooked now because if everyone wants to play the retro GTA, they'll just download GTA 1 from wherever, right? Play it on their computer, and if you want to play GTA 3 or 3D 1, then you've got the current stuff. So this will be totally overlooked. So I'd really be interested to hear how you get on with it.
What about you, Mark?
I'm not a massive fan of Grand Theft Auto games generally. It's not my kind of game usually, like the more modern ones, but I did really enjoy the first two or three. And this is one that I have got, and I do go back and play every now and then. I just think it's a really solid game, like even now. The modern ones have lost me a bit, just because it's just there's nothing wrong with them. I'm aware that they're incredibly successful, but it's just not for me. But these ones were a bit more simple and, like you say, it's a bit more gamey. And, that's probably the best description that anyone could have given earlier. It's just really nice to just jump in a car and just go around smashing stuff up. That's basically, that's I rarely do the actual missions. I just cause havoc and then turn it off. So story of my life, really.
I've just opened the box and had a look at the manual. And I know that in the new GTA, it comes with this huge, big fold-out map that you get, right? And then you look at that once or twice and maybe put it away because it's all on the computer. But I just opened this, and on the first page of the second page of the manual, it says, if you want to imagine the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. And that's a quote from George Orwell, 1984.
I was going to say, that's George Orwell.
Yeah, exactly. And then On the next page, it says, 3 weeks into the future, one teeming city, 7 street gangs, unlimited criminal opportunity. Society is in rapid decay. I mean, it's just, I love this stuff. Someone took the time to come up with all, and now it's just, of course, it's in the game, and the games are absolutely epic and amazing. I love GTA 5 and GTA Online, but this has real charm. So, there.
There. Yes. No, it definitely made me want to seek it and play it as well. So I think I played it on the PS1 back in the day, but the Dreamcast version sounds like it should be something that I should own. So I will see if I can find it, and hopefully it's not crazily priced on eBay at the moment, but we'll find out. All right, then. Moving backwards again, I think the next person would be Mark. So Mark, what is your idea of heaven on Dreamcast?
So this is Looney Tunes Space Race. Which is my favourite racing game on the Dreamcast, and that is saying something with MSR and Sega Rally and all the good racing games. But this game is just fun. It's just so much fun. It's just this is what wacky races should have been for me. It's just every single person that I've had play this has come around and they've loved it. I've even got the missus playing it. I've had four player where I've had friends around and we've kind of put the computer on and stuff. It's just so much fun. I mean, Looney Tunes, just as a concept, I mean, you can't really go wrong anyway, because, like, you know, that is just that's just awesome. But then even the controls, I think, was very, very good. The cel-shaded graphics still stand up today. You can play it and, you know, you wouldn't ever question whether that was a Switch game or not. It could be ported just directly and it would look fine with no enhancements at all. It's just really good. It's just fantastic. It's literally my go-to game whenever I'm just a little bit bored and I've got an hour to kill with the Dreamcast. It's always Looney Tunes Space Race. It's genuinely fantastic. Anyone who's not got it, because it's not, I wouldn't say it's massively well known. You know, it's definitely one that's worth picking up. It's not that expensive, and it's just great. Really good.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that it's a kart racer, but it's like, it's almost like a mixture between Mario Kart and Wipeout, because it's kind of yes. like futuristic floating vehicles, but with like this kart racer aesthetic. I love the weapons as well. There's one where this kind of piano drops, and then a second later the little statue falls and just like rests on top of the piano. it's brilliant. It's got a great sense of humour. Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, all the weapons are so good. It's proper Acme, like Looney Tunes weapons. Yeah. So it's things like a boxing glove, like on a stick thing, and then you've got elephants dropping from the sky and splatting people, and safes, and then they come out of the safe and stuff like that.
What about the hole that you can drop a hole? Can't you?
Yeah, just like a black hole. It's fantastic. It really is.
Mark, I remember you playing this on your stream on Christmas Day, I think.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. So I know this game will always remind me of that now, because, again, I've not got this one either. So, yeah, it reminds me of your stream. So, and it looked really good when you were playing it. So, you know, it's I can, just at least from watching you play it, it looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, no. Well, do you know what, mate? Because I literally picked it for the Christmas Day stream for that exact reason, because I just thought it was a bit of a happy, fun game. So it's nice to see that you've held on to that, mate. I appreciate that.
I think just like the Grand Theft Auto 2 as well, it's got a really kind of authentic feel about it, like the aesthetic of it. You know, you've got very much feels like you're watching a cartoon with all the cutscenes and the different like sort of transitions between different like menu screens and stuff. And it even has a like a really kind of cool championship mode, doesn't it? Is it who is it that's is it? Oh, what's his name? The big chicken. That's kind of narrating it. Is it Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So you've got, and obviously with the space kind of aesthetic to it, you've got like characters like Marvin the Martian getting involved as well, and it's literally like playing a cartoon. It's fantastic. I love this game. And like, I know you mentioned Wacky Races earlier on, but Wacky Races is a bit, it's kind of diluted because it's got that whole kind of hub level. This is just like race. And each stage has got its own kind of amazing Acme infused and themed.
Definitely, and it's even like little things like the reactions of the characters. So, like, you know, if you shoot like Wile E. Coyote, he holds up a sign that just says "drat" and stuff like that. It's like it's so funny, it's so good.
Does sound pretty cool.
I think that's a great shout, and similar to GTA 2, I guess. And as Tom was saying, it's one of these games that it stands the test of time completely well. It looks so good right now, this game. It really, really looks amazing. There's only a few things that you would kind of upgrade graphically in order to, say, have it on a current-gen system, even the PS4 or whatever. It looks amazing. It plays really well. Arguably, it's better than Mario Kart. Mario Kart is good, and I've got it, but it's not brilliant. This has so much more to it than Mario Kart. In the charm that it has. I mean, Mario Kart's got its charm, but this, honestly, this is so good that it's, for me, if I could play this instead of Mario Kart, then, yeah, I'd be choosing this, if for nothing else than just Mario constantly shouting his name out. But I think it's a really, really good game. It's really fun, and it's something that, if I think about the year 2000, turning 17, 18, and I bought Looney Tunes Space Race, but we had such fun playing that. It's just a fun game. So great, great show.
Yeah, I read something recently. I can't remember where I read it. I'm sure somebody will, you know, tell us. But it was an article online about how this actually started as an N64 game, and there's very few shots of it as the N64 version, but it was like ported over to the Dreamcast quite early on in its life. So maybe it was because they thought, well, if we put it on the N64, it's not really going to get many people playing it, because they've got Mario Kart and, you know, Speedway, Mickey Speedway and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's interesting that it was originally an N64 game that kind of was pushed onto the Dreamcast and then became the success that it inevitably came on, you know, eventually came on to be.
Well, so they're actually releasing new Looney Tunes cartoons in the very, very near future. So I'd love to see this, like, you know, with a sequel. I mean, fingers crossed, because that'd be awesome on modern consoles.
Very cool. Again, like GTA 2, I don't have this game, and in fact, I've never played it. So unlike GTA 2 that I'd played, I've never played this one. Sounds like another one I'm going to have to pick up. So this whole section is just going to be me going, oh, I haven't got that one. I'll have to grab that. I'm just going to be spending a lot of money, apparently.
I think it's cool that, you know, the games that we've chosen are things that are a little bit unusual, so that maybe people will go off and go, oh, I didn't even realise that existed, or I've seen it and didn't know what it was like. So, yeah, please.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's
sorting out who's the shill, you know, and pretending that they're into the Dreamcast and who really.
But it's very much like, as well, we were talking earlier, it's kind of like Wacky Races is the one that people go for, I guess. If you want a kind of a racer that's a bit cartoony, people generally will kind of pipe up with Wacky Races. So the Looney Tunes one is like, you know, like I say, it's just one that people don't really think about too much. So yeah, definitely an interesting one. Moving on from talk of shills, let's go to Tom, who's definitely not a shill. what's your idea of heaven?
Right, okay, my choice is a game that came to the Dreamcast quite early in its life, and one that is, you know, it kind of splits opinion, but for me is a really good example of arcade racing on the Dreamcast, and that game is Buggy Heat, known as TNN Hardcore Heat on the American Dreamcast. And there's something about it, even though it kind of seems to be a very basic arcade racer, it does actually have layers that you need to find beneath the initial kind of, you know, there's an arcade mode where you have to do, you know, a certain amount of races, you do that, you do another couple of races, you do that, and then you do another couple of races, and then you do that, and then that's it, that's the end of the game. There's not a great deal to it, but there's several things about it that really kind of endeared it to me. And the first thing that endeared it to me was the fact that it's got these kind of like weird driver tars that don't really appear in gaming until the Xbox One appears, like, you know, many years down the line. So you don't just choose a car, you choose a character as well. And when you're playing the game, these characters are shown on the screen, you know, with different different facial expressions, which relate to how well they're doing throughout the race. On top of that, there's a mode where you can actually train an AI VMU file to race as you. You know, so the stuff in here that is really, like, it sounds like a cliche, but before its time, and things that were never really promoted with the game other than in the manual, kind of at the back. So yeah, it's a bog standard arcade racer. It looks good for the time, but it does some really interesting things with AI and characterization of drivers, which I really love. And for some reason, it just really stuck with me. The gameplay is tight. The tracks, even though there's only six of them, they're very varied. It's just a great fun game, you know. I can't really pin down what it is I like about it, but I just love picking it up and having a quick blast. I don't know. There is one thing I just wanted to read, actually. In the back of the American game case, there's a behind where the CD goes, there's a little bit of text. And I just thought it just sums up the 90s perfectly. So I'm just going to read it to you now. It says, mudslinging, air-catching, jaw-breaking, stomach-turning, rock pulverizing, squirrel flattening, gnat-smashing, forest creature terrorizing, out of my way, eat my dust, stick it in your ear, this road ain't big enough for the both of us, all-terrain, off-road, stump-jumping, big, bad boy, vehicle. And I was just like, yeah, you take the disc out, and it's just like, that's amazing.
isn't that Trump's 2021 election manifesto?
I would love it if that was true. But yeah, it's just that just sums this game up perfectly. I love racing games. I love off-road racing games. This one for me is just game in heaven. You know, it's so simple. It's just great game.
Amazing.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, like video game manual copywriters in the 90s were really kick ass, weren't they? That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of text to have in just that little bit as well. Is it quite small text?
Yeah, well, no, it's quite big. It's the whole size of a CD. So take the CD out, you can see that behind the CD. It's like, wow. But yeah, there's loads of little other features in this game that just kind of make you go, wow, I've never seen that before. For example, in one of the view modes, there is a way that you can play in first person, and you've got in the bottom lower left quadrant of the screen, it literally takes up a quarter of the screen. You've got the view from inside the cockpit, so you can see the driver's feet, hands, changing gear. I'm like, why is that? Why have you put that in the game? Because it does not help in any way other than to take up real estate on the screen.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you hadn't have mentioned it, was this extra camera view? Because to me, I agree with everything you said, Tom. Really unique game, really great fun to play. I love playing this. It was really good fun multiplayer as well. But even the single player races are really good fun. The handling is extremely tight. The graphics are great. You've got this kind of almost micro machines-y type, choose the character rather than the car type thing going on, as you said. And then, this camera view, I really remember this sticking out because, as you say, remember you were in 4:3 back then. It wasn't widescreen gaming even, so it took up a huge amount of the screen. And it just reminded me of all of the BTCC, like the British Touring Car Championship that you have.
Yeah.
With like an in-camera, exactly as you say, it doesn't show you anything other than the steering wheel and the gear changing and the pedals, like racing drivers do actually get. So someone took the time to program all that. You know, it's just, I love it.
It's a fully 3D model as well, just like down in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. It's like, what is the point of that? You know, other than just to say, you know, look what we can do, it's Dreamcast. This is what you can expect now. You know, taken up by this.
Exactly, but it really makes you feel like there's another person, like this character is racing, and that kind of ties into the AI, the really interesting AI thing, because you could kind of train your AI and then let it loose running a race for you and see if it could win as you, which is just extremely weird and unique, as you were saying. And just a really, again, I'm going to guess that not everyone's played this and that you should put it in your list to play.
And there's only six tracks, but the thing that stands out to me is that the tracks, they all have different terrain. So one minute you'll be racing on tarmac, the next minute you're racing over sand dunes, then you're in mud. You know, it's not all one kind of terrain per track. It's a really cool game. I'd love this. This is never going to happen, but imagine a new version of Buggy Heat would just be amazing with like the AI training and the different terrain and I'm getting a bit hot under the collar here, just thinking about it.
Just leave me to it, Tom.
one more thing I must mention. It's got the best name for a car in any racing game ever made, right? There's a car called Dranranschenker. Right? It means nothing. It means nothing. But, you know, it's there if you want it.
That's going to be someone's Twitter handle, surely.
Dranranschenker.
Yeah.
Lewis, is this one that you've played?
You can just move past me at this point, Andrew.
Yeah, to be honest, me and you in this, we are the riches from Dreamcast years at this point. We're just the people who haven't played anything.
Andrew, you're being too nice. You've played at least like two more games than me. Don't drag yourself down with me, man.
Poor Rich. He really hasn't played anything. Mark, have you played this one?
I have. I don't actually own this one, but I played it back in the day. I remember. I just remember this game being really, really, really pretty at the time. Like when it first came out, the graphics were really, really good. And racing games generally are kind of my bread and butter. So yeah, it was one I really enjoyed. I'll be honest. I don't remember a lot about it other than the fact that that we used to play it a lot, and it was one that I used to go back to over and over, but I've not played it since. But you know, I'd certainly echo a lot of Tom's points about it's just a really, it's just a genuinely fun game. It's just one of them ones where even now, I mean, I've just jumped on YouTube just to kind of refresh my old memory of kind of how it looks, and it still looks pretty even now. Like, it's similar to Space Racing. If someone ported that to the Switch, I wouldn't question it. I really wouldn't. You know, you may do on the other ones, but Switch certainly, you know, that'd be bang on.
Yeah, it's very much a game that kind of screams Dreamcast of the era, you know, big polygonal tracks and big polygonal tyres, and yeah, just like, this is what we can do on the system, have a look at this, and it's just like, wow, that looks really good, you know, even as you say, Mark, today it looks really good.
Really good,
so.
That's pretty impressive as well, considering it was a launch title as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So one tiny
little thing as well I wanted to mention is that on one of the Dreamcast Express demo discs, there's a very early version of it, like a playable demo that's completely different to how the actual game turned out. So if you are into like Dreamcast esoterica, check out the version on it's. Let me have a quick look. It is. The Dreamcast Express Volume 1 disc. If you get hold of that, have a play of the Buggy Heat demo on there, because it's completely different and it shows how the game changed, you know, from when it was a very early tech demo to how it eventually came out. So, yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Another one I'm going to have to add to the list. So that's three so far. Let's see if we can make it four for four. Lewis, what is your idea of Heaven on Dreamcast?
Okay, so I want to actually use Martin's term, I want to steal his term, the unsung hero term. It's a very good term, probably for a lot of the games we've discussed today. This is a game that I'm a bit ashamed that I hadn't played it until December last year, and that's Dynamite Cop, which personally I feel is like a masterclass in what a great Sega arcade game is. When you look at all these lists on all these websites that aren't the Dreamcast Junkyard, because I'm sure we've covered it, and Tom could produce an article right now for us if he wanted to. But yeah, like you don't hear about Dynamite Cop. Like, no one talks about it. You kind of hear a bit about Die Hard Arcade on the Saturn, but yeah, I don't hear really when there's these big discussions, I couldn't tell you if I've ever seen that many people come up with Dynamite Cop. And you know, it's a game that absolutely deserves attention. I mean, I'm not really into beat 'em ups. I played a few, and I'm not all that bothered by the genre. I find that some of them can be kind of a bit boring or lack variety. I feel like I'm just strolling along, and I punch a guy, then I pick up a weapon. But I feel like Dynamite Cop is not like that at all. And I kind of want to compare it to Power Stone 2 a bit, which is another one of my favorite games, a Heaven game, despite it being a different genre, because of the way that the scenery and the backdrops and the arenas constantly switch and change. And obviously in Power Stone 2, you've got a lot of really crazy weapons, but Dynamite Cop probably takes the crown for like the most ridiculous weapons. I played it the other day just to sort of give myself a reminder of how good it was. And I recall using a giant tuna fish as a weapon, a urinal. There was a bit where I was in a casino, and the guy grabs one of those coin bowls that you have like the tokens in. He starts like throwing them at the enemies. And there's the best one is this rocket launcher that when you fire it, it creates like a giant mushroom cloud, and your guy is like 10 centimeters away unscathed. You know, it's like completely ridiculous. The tone kind of reminds me of the original Time Crisis, another game that's in a completely different genre that I'm calling as like reference. But you know, the way it's like really trying to be really serious, like you've got to save the president's daughter and take out all these terrorists, but then like in Time Crisis you've got like random blokes flying around with Wolverine claws and a guy with like a gun for a hand. But then like in Dynamite Cop, it probably takes that even further. There's like, I remember there was this one bit where you're fighting these guys in an ice stage and they like slide towards you on their bellies like penguins. You know, just it's just completely bonkers. But it tries to act like it's quite serious. But apart from the crazy spectacle and the gameplay, which is just generally really fun, I think that one of the things that kind of elevated it to this heaven game status in my head was that it's one of the older games on the Dreamcast, and I don't think many games have the privilege of having what Dynamite Cop has, and that's like pretty spot on controls. Like, I had no gripes with it. You know, we were talking, like Mark spoke about MDK2, going back to that and just finding it really difficult to play. Like, this one, I had no issue with it at all. And a lot of games, even really fantastic games on the Dreamcast, I don't actually think they have the privilege of having controls that have aged as well as Dynamite Cop. Even like Zombie Revenge, which is a similar kind of game, doesn't control nowhere near as smoothly, I found. If you like Sega arcade games, this is great, and it's multiplayer, which, you know, is probably the best way to play a game like this. So yeah, Dynamite Cop is my idea of heaven.
Great choice. Yeah. Just on the topic of multiplayer, the bit at the end where you is this going to be a spoiler?
Can you spoil it? 20-year-old game?
20-year-old.
Okay, spoiler alert. If you play it in two-player, you get to the end and you've got to fight each other, and it's just like, yeah, that's cool, you know.
That is pretty cool.
I've not actually played it two-player, so I suppose it was a spoiler, but now I want to play it two-player to do that, so yeah. And then my friend not know, so that'd be even funnier. Yeah.
it's the kind of thing we would have read about in a magazine and forgotten maybe anyway, so not too bad. My question, first of all, another great choice there. I love this game, played it a lot with my brother. Superb co-op. I love the Die Hard arcade game on the Saturn. And it's exactly in this kind of, I don't know, it's a different era. It really is a different era. It's pre-9/11. Everything's lighthearted, stupid and fun. And even if they're trying to be serious, it isn't really. It's like over the top dramatic and nothing's too like realistic. It's just a total arcade joke of a game. But my question is, because you've picked a game for your heaven that also incorporates some of your hell problems, does it not? Aren't there kind of quick time event?
I thought about this. They warn you before the quick time events
happen.
They do.
Okay, yeah. So that is their get out of jail free card, and that, okay. that's nice. By the way, no, this wasn't scripted. That was just a question that I thought of on the fly, and a very nice answer there from Lewis.
Rams applause, Lewis.
It's not like in Resident Evil 4. I remember like playing that for the first time, and you put the controller down, you know, because there's a cutscene, and then suddenly it's like, press this button. You're like, whoa, like, you know, I put the controller down. This one will say, like, I can't remember what it says, actually. It says as like a warning. It's like, you know,
it kind of goes like bleep, 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 or something like that. And you just know that when you're running around this corner, that you're going to have to duck or jump or punch someone in the face or whatever.
Kind of like referencing Echo the Dolphin and how, you know, there's certain things that you kind of think, like, you know, could they have not have put that in? Like, I feel like Dynamite Cop, like, whoever made it, I think it was AM1, Sega AM1. I think they really thought, you know, let's see how we can make this as fluid and as, you know, painless as possible. You know, they really thought of quite a lot of ways to kind of make it, I don't know, stand the test of time, I guess.
Well, it's just classic kind of skill and arcade game. It's classic Sega. It's just this well-thought-out arcade game that ported basically perfectly over to the Dreamcast, and then you've... Mm. So, again, great choice.
Yeah.
Mark, is this one that you would agree with, or are you not as keen?
No, yeah. Do you know what? This is a game I absolutely love, to be fair. I think it's... this is when... I mean, I've always said that the Dreamcast is like when Sega was the most Sega for me. It was just... A lot of their games had a certain style, and this one's exactly that. You know, it really is the arcade perfect port. It's a game I go back to all the time. Absolutely love it. I think the graphics are good. I could definitely get what you meant about the Power Stone comparison as well. Like, it's similar in a lot of ways, obviously, but with a different kind of vibe and stuff. But yeah, I honestly love this game. Like, I play it literally all the time. So yeah, nothing but good things to say. I completely agree with everyone.
Nice. Cool.
I will say one thing. One negative thing.
Go on.
Next time you play it, when the president's daughter comes up, just look at her. the character model for her, she's absolutely hideous. Like,
we had different standards back then.
Different standards of beauty.
She doesn't look human. I don't even think it's about standards.
Might just be a Japanese sex doll or something. You never know.
God.
Well, there you go. I do have this one, actually, so it wasn't 4 for 4. Not going to have to buy this one, but three games there that I'm definitely going to have to buy, and I do agree, Dynamite Cop is a very good game. And again, totally get the Power Stone comparison, the crazy weapons. I mean, Power Stone technically really is, it's kind of a mashup of fighter and beat 'em up anyway, isn't it? So
yeah.
There's that kind of element to it. But, well, there we go. We've had four games that we think belong in hell. I'm sure that we've agreed on most of them. I'm sure there's one that's going to cause a lot of arguments on Twitter. Let's say civil about it. It's Sonic Adventure is it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it certainly is. it certainly is some people's cup of tea. and we can understand why. It did a lot, but and also lots of Heaven games there, which I think we can all pretty much agree are pretty awesome. And if you've not played them, go out and give them a look. So that's it. We'll do this again with some other people and see what their idea of heaven and hell is. In the meantime, there is an abundance of articles on the dreamcastjunkyard.co.uk, probably some about these very games that we've talked about. So if you're interested in reading a bit more about these or any other games or topics about Dreamcast, have a look at the website, thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. Also, you can join us on Twitter at @thedcjunkyard. And yeah, of course, listen to us on the DreamPod. There's plenty of episodes now. This is 79, so you've got 78 other episodes to go back and listen to if this is the first one. And yeah, I think that's about it. Anybody want to? I was going to come to you first, Tom, about where we can find you, because I know you've recently come back onto social media, but not in any particularly massive way.
Yeah, no, I've restarted my Twitter Odyssey, shall we call it? But I've just used my old handle because it's also what I use on like PSN and Xbox, and I didn't want anybody else to get it. If anybody else was putting a random string of numbers in, or letters even, and ended up taking my Twitter handle. So yeah, I'm at Tom Lee C on Twitter. Yeah.
Awesome. Mark, where can we find you on Twitter or anywhere else on the internet, in fact?
Yeah, so it's Maz Gaming, M-A-Z Gaming UK on Twitter and YouTube. I've got loads of videos on YouTube, mainly retro gaming, a lot of it Dreamcast. So if you were, you know, if you're into Dreamcast, I'm assuming you are, if you're listening to this, go on there and give us a subscribe.
If they're not into Dreamcast, I don't know how they've stumbled across us. Exactly,
yeah. certainly, 65 minutes in, I think, you know.
Well done for getting this far if you hate the Dreamcast. Well done.
And even if you're a shill, well done as well for getting this far.
Yes. Martin, coming on to you, where can we find you?
You can give me internet abuse at Sega Collection on Twitter and My Sega Collection on Instagram, and tell me how wrong I am about Sonic Adventure.
Go and do that right now. Lewis, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at LewisJFC. That's LEWIS, not the other way. I've said that before because for some reason I get really frustrated when people spell my name wrong. I don't know why. I think I'm just going crazy. But,
we all are.
Anyway, hear
just
me
use
go
numbers
crazy.
For your name like Tom.
Yeah. Just, yeah, hear me go crazy on Twitter. There you go. Have fun.
Lovely. Yes. You can find me at Oddmint84. If you really want to find other stuff that I do, it's at Dreamcast Years. And like I said before, we can all be found at the DC Junkyard. So yeah, that's it. Thank you very much, guys. That was a really great chat, I think.
Yeah, indeed.
Absolutely, yeah.
Enjoyed that, mate. Yep. Well awesome. Hosted.
Thank you very much. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but thank you. until next time, see you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Please stop this disc now.